do believe. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, the author of this Bible, this book that we have, I ask that you'd be teacher and guide. I pray that you'd give me the right words, and I just pray that you'd help us to understand your words, help us to be willing to accept what is spoken, what is said in this book. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to recognize that even though the world has basically gone into apostasy, and the believers in this country, or so many of them, apostatize, I pray that you'd help us accept your words and be faithful to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember that Revelation, the title of it, chapter 1, verse 1, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's revealing a different side of Jesus Christ that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John reveals. Matthew reveals Jesus Christ as a suffering servant, as well as Mark, Luke, and John, and how he died on Calvary. And if people reject what Jesus did on Calvary, then they will personally witness the revelation of Jesus Christ that is revealed in this book. Of all the terrible things going on in this book. In chapter 17, 18, he hits the main religious structure that is behind the spiritual wickedness of the world. Okay, and this began many years ago when you study the difference between Cain and Abel's religion back in Genesis chapter 4. That's basically the two big thrusts there. In Genesis 4, you had Cain trying to, quote, get blood out of a turnip. He offered the fruit of the ground, and Abel trusted the shed blood of a lamb. Those are the two religious faiths, basically. Cain's is a religion of works. Abel's is a religion of grace. And because God accepted Abel's religion, his faith, he rejected Cain's. Cain was jealous about that. And Cain's religion is wanting to kill Abel's religion ever since then. Okay, and that's, you'll see that through the Old Testament. And you see that in the New Testament days in church history. That's called the Inquisition. Okay, nothing has changed. That is still the desire of this mystery religion. Okay, in Revelation 17, this religious structure is called a mystery. Chapter 17, verse 5, and there you got capital letters, words, all capitalized. You got 13 words there. Okay, this is Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, this is a mysterious Babylon where you can see the literal Babylon over there in Iraq. Okay, that's the literal location of Babylon. That's what Jeremiah wrote about in Jeremiah 50, 51, and 52. The name of the god back in those days was Bel, B-E-L. Another derivative of that name is Baal, B-A-A-L. Then you have Jesus called Beelzebub. That's the extended word of that name. These are all different names for Lucifer or Satan. And Allah is another name of that, Bel. This very similar faith. Allah is a moon god. Okay, if you trace it back and study this out, Allah is a moon god. He is not the same as the God of the Bible. The Muslims would tell you that Allah did not have a son. The God of the Bible had a son. Okay, Jesus Christ. They're not the same. Now, in Revelation 17, 18, this religious structure, verse 18 of chapter 17, mentions that this woman, okay, a woman is a false religion, a virgin is the true. Okay, this woman is a city. Revelation 17, 18. When we go through chapter 18, going verse by verse, we'll see that it's a city mentioned several times. And in chapter 18, verse 19, if you believe the words and take the characteristics that's given, this city must be able to be viewed from a sea coast of some type, or sailors must be able to view the smoke from this city. Okay, so that would eliminate Jerusalem, Mecca. Okay, that eliminates, you know, Salt Lake City and all these other places. There's only one religion that matches this, and that's the Vatican City. If you look at the words, this is called the City on Seven Hills, chapter 7. Okay, chapter 7, verse 9. Okay, that's the only one that matches all the 17, verse 9. That matches all the characteristics if you believe the words of Revelation. And again, Revelation is not a difficult book to teach. It's a tough one to believe. It's got some wild things in there, especially chapter 9. Okay, chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Notice the angel is called a him, his. All angels in the Bible are men. None of them have wings. No angels in the Bible have wings. And according to Revelation 21:17, they're all men, young men. Okay, and that's if you believe the words that's spoken. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitations of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Okay, this idea of the habitation of devils. There is another location that mentions where devils inhabit. In other words, they're infested there. Try Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Okay, habitations of devils. Devils inhabit there. Satan can take up residence in a place. Devils can take up residence in a place. Sometimes people refer to these things as a haunted house or things like that. Okay, Malachi 1, verse 3, it says, and I hated Esau and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Okay, notice these dragons in the wilderness. Okay, dragons, as far as the Bible term, would be similar to our term for dinosaur or reptiles or reptilians. Okay, and so this is why you have such odd behavior over there in Jordan, Saudi Arabia. The reason why these people can actually find a Jewish soldier and massacre them and then drag them in the streets and hang them from a thing. And the kids, they do this in front of their children. The children dance around the mutilated body. I mean, this is the habitation of devils. These people are infested with devils. This odd behavior, you know, out of the ordinary behavior. Okay, that's in Edom. Edom is what we call Jordan today, or Saudi Arabia. Okay, back in Revelation 18, there's something interesting with devils. Okay, the Bible word is devil. Sometimes people refer to demons. Demons is a Greek word that they don't want to translate into devils. The reason why the Bible translated to devil is because that's an automatic negative or evil. Psychologists in the old days used to say that there are good demons and bad demons. Good witchcraft, bad witchcraft. No, it's all bad. Okay, it's all devils. The Bible word is devils. And notice, an habitation of devils. And notice what's associated with it, a foul spirit, so they have a foul mouth, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Okay, what God often does, he takes something in nature to demonstrate something in the Bible. What portrays unclean spirits better than anything would be small winged creatures, flies, mosquitoes, unclean birds, ravens, Ravens, when they want to find out if their prey is dead, they take their beak and pluck them in the, and poke their eye and see if it blinks. That you find that in Proverbs. Unclean birds. Remember when Noah let out a raven from the ark? It went out and never came back. The dove, picture of the Holy Ghost, okay, it came back. The raven went out and fed on the carcasses. So these birds, this is why we have common sayings. If somebody is really infested, they're a bird brain. They got bats in the belfry. Okay, bats, a small winged creature, you know, vampire type thing, a bloodsucker. Okay, that's what mosquitoes are. Small winged things. The maniac of Gadara had over 1,000 devils inside of him. Small winged things. And then you get this real abnormal behavior. I mean, really out of the ordinary behavior. Okay, if you would look at Matthew chapter 13 about this idea of the birds. You have the bird man of Alcatraz. You know, or their movie a few years ago called The Birds, where they came in and, you know, killed a bunch of people. Okay, they say a little birdie told me. A little birdie. Okay, you find that common saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. A little birdie here. A bird of the air brought this message. Okay, in Matthew 13, verse 4, the Lord Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And in verse 4, this is the parable. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Birds came and picked the seeds up. The seed is the word of God. The interpretation of this passage is starting down in verse 18. We're just looking at the birds right now, the fowls. In verse 18, it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," okay, the word is parallel with the seed of verse 4. "When they hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." That's the birds of verse 4. The birds of verse 4 come and get the seeds. In verse 19, the bird is the wicked one. So this is why you have a lot of common sayings associated with this. The Pharisees called Jesus in Mark chapter 3, Beelzebub. That means Lord of the flies. Okay, so these, if you study flies, mosquitoes, unclean birds, then you can learn about the spirit world. You can learn about how the devil's unclean spirits influence people. Okay, what bird in the Bible is often portrayed to be the Holy Ghost? Okay, you have the dove, a clean bird, according to Leviticus. The raven, the buzzards, and things like that, those are unclean birds. Now, in Revelation 18:2, this Babylon, this mysterious Babylon, if that's Vatican City, and that's when Catholicism unites with the Muslims going down to literal Babylon, you will have a marvelous killing machine. During World War II, Adolf Hitler, who was a Roman Catholic, I mean, he was a Roman Catholic. It was admitted by, you know, many. He's never been excommunicated from the church. Okay, and when he died, the Spanish newspaper published an article that said that Adolf Hitler, the son of the Catholic Church, died defending the faith. And regarding the Jews of putting them into ghettos, Adolf Hitler said, "We have just been following the policy of the Holy Mother Church that's been doing for 1,500 years. Okay, history's tried to cover that up. Well, Adolf Hitler made an agreement with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem to kill the Jews there as they were killing Jews other places. When you get those two combined, you really have a killing machine. They will kill like unbelievable. Now, some of this was documented in Yugoslavia, in Serbia. Okay, there's a fellow named Avro Manhattan that documented a lot of these things out of Serbia, where you had the Croatians, Catholics, Serbians, Orthodox. During World War II, the Croatians, the Ustasi, was killing the Serbians to a point where it was embarrassing to the Germans. The German soldiers were amazed at how the Croats was killing the Serbians. And the Croatian Roman Catholic priests would actually put off their priest garments and put on a soldier's garment, and then they would partake in the killing. Okay, and he wrote, Averill Manhattan wrote a couple books about this, published these books, and sent like 2,000 copies to the Serbian government. A few years back, when the communists kind of dropped its walls a little bit, the Serbs remembered the history of World War II, and so that's when they said, we're going back and getting you Croats. And who do the United Nations side with? They sided with the Croatians, because it's solidly Roman Catholic. Then the Bosnians were more of the Muslims. So the Croats, Catholics, Bosnians, Muslims, and the Serbians, Orthodox. Okay, and that's what the fighting was going on there. Okay, but in verse 2 of chapter 18, notice that the birds are mentioned there. They're unclean and hateful bird is there. In other words, Satan can take up residence. He has a seat, according to Revelation 2. He has a throne, according to Revelation 2. And when Pope John Paul II died, they buried him in a trapezoid-shaped casket, a Dracula casket. That was a sign to the Satanists of the world that he was one of them. Okay, and verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. They have foreign ambassadors, and they're going out into the world. All nations have drunk of the wine, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Okay, wealth is coming through this organization. This is the most wealthy organization on earth. Okay, the Vatican City. It is a religion, but yet it is a government. The Holy See is both a religion and a government. They have their own currency, their own army, their own mail system, their own ambassadors. We have an ambassador to the Vatican. President Reagan is the one that assigned a person to be an ambassador to that church or country, smallest country on earth as far as geographical size. But notice, when you get talking about these things, people are quickly going to say, well, you don't believe they're saved. That's not true. I've met several Catholic people that do give good testimonies of salvation. Okay? But notice what the Bible says here in verse 4. He said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. See, there are some saved people there. Come out of her, my people. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. In 1997, I took a trip to Israel, and I discovered something on that trip that I never knew before. Obviously, when you travel, you find these things out. But when you go to some of these religious holy sites, if you take a tour, usually the tour guide will say, well, this is what happened here with Jesus. And they read something in the Bible. They talk about that, you know, feeding of the 5,000, blah, blah, blah. Well, on our tour, we had Ron White on the tour, and he would let the tour guide give the typical spiel. But yet he had an agreement with the tour guide that he could give the Bible interpretation of it, and he would often interject certain things. But I thought it was rather interesting that when you go to most of these sites, there's almost always a little Catholic chapel right there. They bought up the site, so when you go thinking you're learning something about Jesus or Judaism, there's a priest right there watching his little chapel, you know, where Jesus was born. Oh, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where he was supposed to have, you know, been buried. It's within the city walls. That's not where Jesus was buried. But you're to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and there's a big marble slab right there, and people come to there, flock to this place, and kiss this slab. And I'm thinking, all the slobber. And it's a real man, you can't say anything to anybody. If you pass out tracts there, you will be arrested. And that's where they come, and you see all these people come, and there's the priest standing over there, and here these, you know, some of the people come and kissing that, and then go over to him, oh, Father, and we're gag me with a spoon, you know. But you see, what they do is they buy up all these sites. Okay? And they're the ones interested. You see, isn't it amazing how Jerusalem is a focal point of three major religions? Muslims, Judaism, and Catholicism. And I can envision the Antichrist getting that temple built right beside where the mosque is, up there on the Dome of the Rock, because that's where it's supposed to be. So you have a Jewish temple there, you have the Muslim there, and then you have the Church of the Holy Sepulchre just down the street. Nice little harmony and unity. It's going to be all a facade. Okay, but he says to come out of her, separate out of her, Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5. Now, throughout the history of Protestantism, all Protestant denominations used to teach this sometime in their history. You're not hearing them at all talk about this. Jack Van Impe will not talk about this at all with all his prophecy knowledge. He will not mention Babylon Mystery the Great. He will brag about the Pope. He has bragged about the Pope. Billy Graham has said that the Pope, John Paul II, was a great evangelist. Billy Graham himself received an honorary doctorate from a Catholic university. And they said to him that you are preaching the same gospel the Holy Mother Church believes in. I mean, this is something where if you want to be an internationally known preacher, you cannot say these things. I mean, it would be verboten. You would immediately lose any publications that you would get. Okay? It doesn't matter if you want to be approved by man or approved by God. Okay? Revelation 18:8. Notice what's associated with this church also. Verse 6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill her to her double. This is the cup of God's wrath. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Stand afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. The Lord allows somebody to build up and be built up, and then all of a sudden, wham, he takes them down. But notice the financial structure here, verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all, what is that, thine, and wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves. Slaves? That's a prophecy. Slaves and the souls of men. One of the pleasures of wealthy Saudi Arabians is to go down to Sudan and have Christian kids or girls or people kidnapped. Take them and put them on a cross. Crucify them. And then they stand a half a mile away with a rifle and shoot at them. That's what rich Saudi Arabians get their jollies of doing down in Sudan. There's a missionary out of South Africa, Peter Hammond, went right into these places and videoed and took pictures of all the killing that's going on there where Christians try to defend themselves. They do not burn down any mosque. Christians do not, but the Muslims will burn down the Christian churches, kill them and take their skulls and stack them in the corner of the church, take their pictures, you know, and revel over what they've done. Peter Hammond would take trips right into them and try to administer these people, because in the Sudan there's one like island place of Christians. It's not an island of water, but it's an island where the Christians are here and they're surrounded by Muslims in the Sudan. And is the United Nations are going to go help defend those people? Not a word. They're not going to say a word to them. But notice slaves, and this is what a lot of Muslims do during in Africa. If you talk to the African missionary, the news media is not going to tell anybody about this. They'll kidnap Christians and hold them as slaves. Verse 13. But notice the money involved. Okay, money is one way Satan gives people promises is through wealth, great wealth. Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel, you have about chapter 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. You got about six or seven chapters right in a row that focus on Lucifer, the anointed cherub, or Satan. Ezekiel 28 is probably the main one, Ezekiel 28. And when you read through here, you'll see that he deals with a much merchandise. Okay, a lot of wealth. When people bow down and worship him, then they get wealth. Do you realize that some very wealthy people do not make financial decisions without consulting their demonic guides? Remember back when it was published that Nancy Reagan consults the stars when Ronald Reagan travels? People were surprised at that. A lot of these people do this. This is what's called an augur, A-U-G-U-R. In the Roman days, if somebody who had the augur, there was a divination where they would look in the animal parts of birds and then they'd look at the stars and then they'd try to figure out if the Caesar should travel or whatnot. They called them an augur. That's where we get our word for an inaugural address, inaugural ball. You see, this is why the friends in high places are often consulting unclean spirits. This is how they got their power. And when you look at major corporations, multi-million dollar corporations, you're going to find in those corporations, sometimes at the top, a closet Satanist. You're going to find that they give honor to their God by some of their symbolism. Nike. Nike's a god. It's a pagan god. Peter Pan. Pan, the god Pan. And if you go to these places in some of these wealthy homes, you're going to find gargoyles around there. They're giving honor to their god. They'll put they'll have an obelisk around somewhere. They'll have an inverted star somewhere. They'll have 666 engraved in the concrete, into the stone, like the castle of Disney World. The original castle that Disney World Castle is patterned after, we took a tour of that when we were in Germany. And he has in there a life-size statue of the fallen cherub. Right in there. He's got 666 engraved in the marble in several places. Now, our tour guide was not the typical tour guide. We had Nico Vierhoof as our tour guide. And he'd point all these things out. He said, look at there, there's another one, and there's a demonic one, and there's one. And he pointed all, he'd been through there so many times. He showed us those things. It's right in there. You see, they give homage to their God who gives them their wealth. In Ezekiel 28, verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted the wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Traffic, that's where we get the word drug traffic, liquor traffic. Okay, he says, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that have known, behold thee. I just noticed that right there. I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. Have you ever heard of human combustion? Spontaneous, but this is human combustion where a person just starts burning up themselves. That's a weird thing. But that's kind of what he said is going to happen to Lucifer, the anointed cherub. But notice a catchword of him, verse 19. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Catchword today, terrorism. Terror. We're fighting terror. The war on terror. You know, and all that stuff. And never shalt thou be any more. You see, back in Revelation 18, very, very wealthy. A lot of money comes through there. There's a lighting company down in Texas called Lucent. Lucifer Lighting or something like that. You have Lucent Technology. Lucent Technology, stretch it out, Lucifer. And Lucent Technology has a flaming O as their symbol. The flaming O is the eternal fire, the eternal flame, as mobile gasoline has the red O. There's been some men that have done studies on these things, and you see this everywhere. The devil's people, they give homage to their God. Okay, verse 14. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Notice the word dainty. I have a cross-reference there back to Proverbs chapter 23. It's kind of interesting when you read this. Proverbs 23 is dealing with a rich person sitting down to eat with a wealthy ruler. I find it interesting in Proverbs 23, verse 1, it says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man, give an appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own evil. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath, notice the words, and evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. Notice what is associated with wealth. The evil eye. The evil eye that's the back of your dollar bill. The all-seeing eye. It's the eye that I saw in a Buddhist pagoda in Vietnam. It's the eye that we have in the back of our currency. It's the eye that secret societies will worship. And a lot of secret societies will promise the people that join them that you will get wealth. You don't have to be a good businessman. We will give you a square deal because you're a traveling man looking for the light. This is associated with the evil eye. Evil eye is mentioned in Mark chapter 13. It's one of the 13 sins that come out of the heart. Revelation 18, verse 15. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and the ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. They can see this. They could witness this flames. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein we have made rich, we have been made, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." What's heaven's response about this? Verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy angels and prophets," or apostles and prophets, "for God hath avenged her, you for her." The heaven's reaction is much different than down here, isn't it? God in heaven is rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. The apostles and prophets are told to rejoice. God has avenged them. This is what the Jewish saints were praying for in the tribulation. Verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea." Isn't it interesting he throws millstone in there? Mentions a millstone. Does that ring a bell about offending a child? If someone offends a child, Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 6, if somebody offends a child, it's better for them to be cast in the midst of a sea with a millstone. Oh, but what does this Holy Mother Church do when a priest offends a child? Moves him from this parish to this parish, over to this parish. Move him over to this parish. That's what they do. They got to watch out for each other. They spent over $1 billion in attorney fees, let alone the buyouts. $1 billion. You see, and that's why that millstone is mentioned in there. He says, "Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be." Now this craftsman, if you run it back to Acts 19, there's a fellow named Demetrius. Okay, that's... they scream for an hour, 2 hours about, "Great is the goddess of Diana, great is the goddess of Diana." For 2 hours they scream about that. "And no craftsman, whatsoever craft to be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee." So this system burns a lot of candles. They will employ little girls and nuns to make these candles and give them enough food just to survive. If you read the story about Maria Monk, Maria the Monk was a young girl that became a nun at 13 years old in a closed order convent up in Canada. Never saw her parents again. The closed order nunneries, they do not see their parents again. If their parents come and visit them, they have to talk to this person through a cloth. They cannot see them. Why? It's because they're so sickly looking, starving to death. Maria was in that for at age 13. She escaped in her mid-30s. Never got out of there until she escaped. And how she escaped is that she put a note there by somebody who was delivering food in a cafeteria to please leave the door unlocked. And that's how she escaped. And then she tells a story of what she witnessed when she got married to the church at 20 years old. They had a ceremony. She had the ring. And that meant the priest can do anything he wishes with her. And they did on a regular basis. And what did she do? She made candles for the church. That's what she did. "The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Interesting there. Witchcraft, the New Age movement, it's coming up. But this is what Bill Snedlin would tell you. When he was raised a Catholic, he was introduced to witchcraft by the nuns. You see? Why? It's the same system. By their sorceries. And verse 24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. There's the blood of the prophets. You see, in the Old Testament, it was the Jews killing their own prophets. Here, they've got this religious structure. And you just study the Vatican. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Get that one thick book that's called Martyr's Mirror. It's about that thick, about that wide, but that long. And it goes through martyrs after martyrs after martyrs after martyrs, what people have done, died trying to please the Lord. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Okay, that's the end of chapter 18, 17, 18, Mystery of Babylon the Great. 19 gets into the second coming. Glorious, positive thing. Okay, 17, 18, pretty negative. Okay, we'll stop there and let's pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. And Lord, we're looking forward to your second coming. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us do what we can to draw people to Jesus Christ. And I ask that you'd bless the play and the practice that we have in Jesus' name. Amen.